It's October 14th, Kartik class, the glorious sevas of Radharani. Vande Guru Paradvandvam Bhakta Vrinda Samanditam Sri Chaitanya Prabham Vande Nityananda Sahoritam Sri Nandanandaram Vande Radhika Charana Dhyam Gopi Jana Samayuktam Vrindavana Manoharam Amala Kamala Raji Sparshi Vata Prashite Nija Sarasini Dage Sayamala Saniyam Parijana Gana Yukta Kridiyanti Pakarim Snapyati Nija Dasi Radhikamam Kadanu. Yesterday we were discussing about entering the family of Krishna as a Mandri and acquainting ourselves and familiarizing ourselves with the members of the Brijbasi family of Krishna, the younger, the Sakis and Mandris, and coward boys, and elderly gopis like Mukura, Yashoda, Kirtida. And we're explaining about relationships, how the Sakis, the Mandris, will have relationships with, of course, Radharani primarily, then their Yuteshwari group leader, and then their other Mandris, especially Brindadevi, Purnamasi, Yogamaya, and Rupa Mandri. And Brajavilas Dava, the Raghunath Das Goswami, he explains about, he glorifies the different individuals and he has prayers and glorification of Vishakha and Lalita Rupa Mandri. So we heard something about Vishakha yesterday. And we were hearing how Vishakha is such an expert singer, and she is not different from Radharani in so many regards. And then, of course, it started raining. And the class was over. Then it was Harinam, so there's no loss. But. So the prayer, just to repeat, was Pranaya Lalita Narmaspara Bhumishtayurya. It's glorifying Vishakha not only as an expert singer, but she's a veritable abode of love for Radharani and also humor, Narma. She's very funny and humorous. So there's some passages here that indicate the glories of her expertise in joking and humor and telling jokes for the pleasure of Radharani and Krishna. This is from a stotram that is also in Stavavali by Raghunath Das Goswami called Vishakhanandara Stotram. One may think it's about Vishakha, but it's that prayer which gives bliss to Vishakha. Vishakha is the Yuteshwari, or the group leader, chief Sakhi for Raghunath Das. Rupa Mantri is in the Sakhi Gan of Lalita Sakhi. So here he's reciting a prayer to glorify Radharani. It's all about Radharani. It's a little maybe misleading. Vishakhanandara. Vishakhanandada. That which gives pleasure to Vishakha. So Vishakha is non-different from Radharani. As we heard yesterday, it's described she's non-different at heart from Radharani. Has the same mood and attributes. She's born the same, practically the same place, and nearby Barsana on the same day in the same month at noontime. There's Radhastami. Little do people know it's also Vishakhastami. Some know. So she's very much expert in, of course, singing and joking. So this is an example in that prayer itself, Vishakhanandara Stotram, about her joking. Radhika smiles when she sees that Krishna is defeated by Vishakha's intimate joking words. Vishakha is the best teacher in joking, and she defeats even Saraswati in eloquence. So she is Saraswati's city, or Vag city, Vag Siddhi. She has perfection of speech. She's even the goddess of speech is defeated by Vishakha. So you can imagine how expert in speech she is. And she is a teacher. She's a joker. She's a teacher in joking. That's a pretty interesting profession. What's your? I'm a professor in what? In joking. I teach in this jokes and humor, Vishakha Sakhi. So I rather like that idea, and I would like to be a follower of Vishakha and Rati Manjari, because I have rag for joking. So I like Madhav Mangal and Nandi Mukhi and Vishakha and some other ones also. So now here's another example. This is Krishnaika Kumudi, which is available in English, chapter 4, verse 42 through 45. One time, Vishakha was joking with Radharani while she was picking flowers. Everyone knows that humor makes every task go very fast. If you tell jokes, then time flies when you're telling jokes and laughing and having a good time. So picking flowers is simply to collect flowers to serve Krishna, and they want to pass the time quickly before they meet Krishna. So Vishakha tells jokes to speed up the time and to make the heart very joyful and light, like a flower. So can you be a little softer, a little like that, or maybe sit the other way, or just put your ear here and your mouth over there somewhere. You know, like sit sideways and just touch, like Arjuna was told by Krishna in the Gita. Krishna told Arjuna, just lend an ear. We have this phrase, lend me an ear. He said, touch Srinu, just hear me. In other words, I don't want your Gandiva bow. I don't want your even anything, or your chariot, or your expertise in archery, or Dhanurved. I simply want your ear. And I want to fill your ear with transcendental knowledge. So you can just point your ear towards me. Go, look the other way. So I don't hear the Russian translation in one ear. And it's like a little interesting focus. One ear is the parrots and one ear is Russian. And out of this is supposed to come English. it makes life very humorous. So here they are, they're picking flowers at Kusum Sarovar, or moreover in Radhakund, all these flower picking pastimes that are sometimes reputed to go on at Kusum Sarovar actually go on at Radhakund. There's sometimes debate in blog spots about that. But the conclusion is that most of the flower picking is in Radhakund before they meet. At any rate, so Radharani's picking flowers and Vishakha says, listen. And while she's picking the flowers, then suddenly she says, oh, and so she does a play on words. She says, oh, Mugde. Mugde means like fool, like Mugda. Vimugda means completely foolish. Oh, Mugde, oh, naive or foolish girl. Just see a bee. She's using this word because there's one type of bee called Brahmar. Brahmar is a very big, fat bee. It's about an inch long. Anyway, it's like this because you have centimeters. It's about this long and about this wide. Very big. And totally dark, shiny, dark, blackish blue. Mostly black, but there's lots of blue there. And they like living in holes in the wall, so to speak. Like we have this bamboo pole holding up these lattes. So it's kind of an interesting play on rasa, because that's a Madhavi lata, and that bamboo is, inside that bamboo is a black bee. There's a black bee in it. There's a hollow inside that bamboo pole, which is extending those vines so you can walk on that sidewalk, otherwise they come on your face. So it's pulling them back. So those are Madhavi Latas, and that's another name for Radharani, is Madhavi. And Krishna is that Brahmar in the Brahma Gita. So he lives inside that bamboo pole. It's a very interesting, because Krishna lives inside a bamboo pole called a Vamshi or Murli or Venu. And then he comes out of that bamboo pole and makes the Madhavis go crazy. So I've seen many times he's cavorting there with his consort, Shyamala. Krishna and Shyamala Brahmar. So Krishna, he is, when she says sometimes the Brahmar is called, the gopis called Brahmar Krishna. Madhukar. Madhukar means bee, one who collects sweetness. Madhu means sweetness, and kara means one who does. So he goes after sweetness, Madhukar. Shahad. Shahad means honey in Hindi. So she's saying, they're picking flowers, and bees like to land on the flower and drink the nectar, and they condense it by evaporating all the water. Then they produce these honey drops, which is condensed flower nectar, basically. They evaporate all the water from the drop of nectar from the flower as they return to their beehives. Then it becomes very thick, as if when you boil down sugar water, it becomes very thick sugar juice. So they have some mechanism for that in their mouth, evaporating all the water. So now she's saying, oh look, Radharani, just see a bee. A bee is coming to relish your moon-like face, thinking your golden face is a golden lotus flower. Be careful. Those, don't you know that anyone who has a black complexion does not have a good character? So when Radharani hears this obvious joking, alluding to Shyamasundara, she says, oh, alas, when girls are here, when there are suckies here like you, with your blooming lotus face, then why would this bumblebee want to come and relish my moon-like face, which has no scent at all? So Vishakha is making a joke that, oh Radharani, your face is like a golden lotus flower. And see this bee buzzing above the flower? Actually, this Brahma is Krishna. And he's coming to relish the nectar of your face. Like they do, they relish. And Radharani says, no, my face is not a flower. My face is a moon, Chandramukhi. And the moon has no fragrance. So she's making another joke back. And why would the bee want to come land on the moon of my face, which has no fragrance or smell, when someone like you is there, Vishakha, whose face is blossoming like a lotus and so fragrant? So, of course, this is how the gopis joke, and we're a little dull and not so much tadatmika with their bhavas and their sucky bhavas. So we say, oh, okay, haha, what's so funny? You know, I mean, most everyone's like, well, so what? Where's the joke? Because we're not so, me included, I'm saying we are not so sensitive or rasa-friendly to appreciate it. But this is cited as an example of her joking. Now, just some commentary that says the singing expertise of the sweet voices of the gopis and mandris, like Vishakha, is unequaled and unexcelled by anyone within the entire creation of Lord Brahma. So here we find out about Vishakha, that she's going to teach us how to tell good jokes or improve the ones we already know. And when we go to the Nitya Leela, and she's going to teach us singing, and she's so expert. So this is a introduction to Vishakha to further our appreciation of her qualities and talents and increase our attachment and attraction to being with Vishakha. In verse 38, he describes the seva and position of Rupa Manjari. Tambalarpan paramardana payo danabidas suradibir. He says, because each one of these members of Krishna's eternal entourage in Vrindavan, Raghunath Das and Sadaka Avesh, absorbed in the mode of a sadaka, he is praying to them and for us that we should, his prayers should be our prayers, and his understanding and appreciation of these sakis should be our understanding and our appreciation. So therefore, as the teacher of Raghunatha Bhakti and the conclusions and practices and sadhana and sadhya, then he's giving us this very excellent book as a guidebook and as an instructive manual. As he says, Rupa Mandri Mukas Tat Dasika Samashraya. I take shelter of the maidservants, especially the chief of them all, the Mukhya. Mukhya Sakhi, Mukhya Manjari, is Sri Rupa Mandri. So he says, Sri Rupa Mandri Mukas Tadasika Samashraya. Samashraya, I take complete shelter at the lotus feet of Rupa Mandri. So this is the mood of Rati Mandri and the mood of all sadhakas, irregardless of who your Yuteshwari Sakhi may be, and at the final point, or during bhajan, if it's revealed, and who that mandri you'll be under, everyone has this allegiance and this identification with Sri Rupa Mandri. Translation. I take shelter of Sri Radhika's maidservants, headed by Rupa Mandri, and her special service is she's always preparing beta leaves and tambul, and massaging the feet of Radharani, sometimes Krishna, and serving the water and arranging for the divine couple's secret meetings or triads. Maidservants like Rupa Mandri are even more dear to the great ocean of Brindaranya. Excuse me. That these Mandris like Rupa Mandri are more dear to the queen of Vrindavan, Brindaranya, Vrindavaneshri Radharani, than the Pran Preshta Sakhis, which means the Ashta Sakhis, the girlfriends that are dearer to her than life, and she is therefore not at all shy before them. So here, this is, not only is it speaking, it's very much identifying Rupa Mandri as an individual, the greatness and significance of her position and identity and relationship to Radharani and all the other Sakhis. But also, yeah, maybe the speaker came back this way. I don't know. Because it's just sitting there on top of the roof of the entrance of Madan Mohan Temple, two speakers, so they can go like this or like that. When they go like that, the sound goes that way. It doesn't sound so much like that. At any rate, this is the position of Rupa Mandri. But he also is explaining that how there's some tattva here that he's saying that these Mandris, they're more dear to Radharani even than Lalita Sakhi and Vishakha Sakhi, who is so similar to Radharani, as I mentioned. So this is the philosophy that these Parma Prishta Sakhis are so dear, but not as dear as the Mandris. And we discussed, of course, all about that, about how the Mandris are Radhika Sneha Adhika. Now there's another verse that describes Chandravali. If I can, somehow, I don't see it here, just now, wait a second. That's verse 40. Okay. So, believe it or not, even Chandravali is also mentioned and glorified because sometimes the Mandris and Sakhis, they have to speak to the members of Chandravali's party, they have to meet them, they have to fool them, and sometimes they even meet Chandravali. In Sankalpa Kalpadruma, it describes... Did you speak to Haridas? Yeah. Maybe you can lock the gate and go check. He's gone. Okay, good. Jai Jai Shri Radhe Sarva Shakti Mayi Radharani Ki Jai. This proves that Radharani is the Ishvari of Vrindavan. Vrindavani Shri Radharani Ki Jai. Let's hope it stays that way. But for now, back to what it was. any rate, so in Sankalpa Kalpa Druma, Vishnu Chakravarti, he's explaining how in the morning or sometime Krishna may leave when he leaves his association with Radharani, because he also had an appointment that same evening with Chandravali. So she's waiting all night for him, and she won't be too happy when he gets there. So when Krishna leaves the Kunja with Radharani, then he pretends he's going to Nandagram, and then he turns and starts to go towards Sakhistali or some other trysting place, or Sanket Kunj with Chandravali. So now Vishnu Chakravarti, Vinod Valerie Mundry, says, when Krishna leaves the Kunj, I will walk behind him. It almost sounds like 007 or something. The Mundry is going on a reconnaissance mission, like a spy, Radharani's Mundry's spy. And of course, they do have that service of spying as one of their duties, to spy on the rival party and to check their movements. So then Vinod Valeri Mundry, this Vishnu Chakravarti, he goes behind, and then may it stay that way, at least for 2 hours. Just by going like that, you know. Same speaker, because it's exactly like this. That's even better. Very good. Very good. Tatastu, tatastu, bhavatu, bhavatu, stay that way. It's just a CD. I mean, if it was live, I could have respect for the performer or the pracharak, but I mean, we're living listeners and living speakers. We should have some prominence. At any rate. So, Vinod Valeri Mundry walks behind Krishna, and then and she's speaking in Sankalpa Druma, how reporting to Radharani, telling Radharani what she's going to do. So Radharani, I'll walk behind Shyam, and when he enters the kunja of Chandravali and starts making all kinds of alibis means excuses, why he was late, and you know he had a sore throat, and he overslept, and they got up late, and by the time he got up it was 5 o'clock in the morning, and he just ran as fast as he could. Now it's sunrise, please forgive me. So as soon as he starts giving all his excuses why he's late for the Abhisar with Chandravali, he said, at that time, I will speak up. I will speak up and say, oh, and loud enough so that Chandravali will hear, oh, Shyam, you just come from from Nidiban with Radharani. What are you doing here? And I will speak in such a way that Krishna will have no success and have to leave that kunja immediately in an embarrassed state of mind and run home to Nandagram, and I will foil his attempts to meet with the Vipaksha Sakhi Chandravali. So this is the wonderful services that the Mundries do. So that means that you'll see Krishna with Chandravali, and that's a certainly undesirable darshan, but you'll do everything you can to make sure it won't last long, or you'll prevent it. So, but nevertheless, as I mentioned yesterday, the Mundries have a very respectful attitude towards Chandravali, because she's an elder Sakhi, first of all, and second of all, she's Radharani's sister, because, as I mentioned, Radharani's father is the brother of, his brother is the father of Chandravali, Chandrabhanu. So an Indian family situation that we call cousin, sister, they consider like sister. So she's very respectable, and everyone knows that Krishna loves, and all the Mundri Sakhis know that Krishna really loves her. She's number two everywhere in Puranas, everywhere it's told about the Sakhis. It says there's 8 primary Sakhis. Of all the thousands of Sakhis, there are 8 that are the most favorite of Krishna. And Shaivya Padma, Chandravali, Shamala, and then Radharani Lita. There's two or three are from Chandravali's party, 2 or 3 from Radharani's party, and some other ones, some Tatasta and Surit Sakhis. Shamala and Pali and Shamala, and Padma and Shaivya and Lita Vishaka Radharani. These are the 8 most beautiful talented, attractive, pleasing sakis in all of Vrindavan. So everyone knows the position of Chandravali. She's number two. Now when we talk about the Ashtasakis, that's Radharani's Ashtasakis, which we know so dearly. So don't get confused with these two lists. Radharani's personal Priyanarma Sakas, the Ashtasakis, are called Parama Preshta Sakis. So here in this verse, where is that verse? About Chandravali. I don't know, somehow I seem to have spaced it out. 38 is Rupamanjari. 40. I don't know. I have it up here. Oh, here it is. It's 41. Yeah. This is verse 41. Where Raghunath Das Goswami is glorifying the Vipaksha party, the rival party. Sampat pat yo chaya rajya ujvala rasa yo che samud vriddaye so bhagyod bhatagarva vibrama brita shi radhikaya sputam govinda smarafula valavavadu vargena yena shanam kridat yeshatam Atra vistrita maha punyam cha vanda mahe vandama vandana. So this is, he's offering his respects. So usually the mandris are very respectful to Chandravali and Shaivi and Padma, the members of the rival party or enemy party, Vipaksha. Paksha means group or section or group, and V means against. So those that are against Radharani's Paksha. Swapaksha Sakis means my own group. Swapaksha, Radharani, Lalita, Vishaka, Rupa, these are her Sakis. And Vipaksha means against my Paksha. Rivals, anti-party, enemies, whatever you want to call them. So generally they're very respectful, but then when the pastime goes in such a way, then they can rebuke Chandravali, they can lie to her, they can do so many things for the service of Radharani. So here he's speaking in his sadaka avesh. He's speaking respectfully and honorably, and that's our position, of course. Yeah, that's better, Haridas. Yeah. That's, I think, Rose, you have to check. I praise the highly fortunate gopis. He calls them Samud Vridha Sobhagya. I praise those most very fortunate gopis headed by Chandravali. Govinda makes these gopis that are blossoming with amorous desires assume the position of Radhika's rivals by briefly enjoying with them just to nourish Radhika's fortune, great pride, means her man, ecstatic bewilderment, and other characteristics of an amorous heroine. This is still really going that way, I guess. So here it's interesting that the Govinda, Krishna is pulling all the strings in the background. That he's, because his whole mood and mentality is to spend all his moments with Radharani, experiencing and tasting the varieties of her love and sharing his with her. So it says here that he makes all these gopis assume different moods by his aprem, his lila shakti, and by yoga maya, so that Chandravali assumes an anti-Radharani mood, or Radharani becomes in man, or she feels she's been insulted or stood up and by Chandravali. So it adds a whole new flavor of love. So it nourishes and increases the sweetness of Krishna's enjoyments with Radharani, Chandravali, and all the other gopis. And when other gopis assume a competitive, hostile attitudes towards Radha. So Krishna arranges that Chandravali and Padma and Shaivya, they become hostile or anti against Radharani just to increase his love. Because one of Krishna's greatest enjoyments is called Manbhanga Leela, to break Radharani's man. And man is such a deep form of Vipralamba or Viyog, love and separation. It's one of the four major types of love and separation, man, or this sulking mood. And Krishna creates that because, and then there's two varieties. There's man with a cause and man without a cause. Sometimes Krishna doesn't do anything. He doesn't apparently cheat on Radharani or stand her up or come late or show the obvious signs of meeting some other gopi. He's quote unquote innocent, not guilty. But Radharani knows that Krishna still wants to be mystified by this ahoituki man. There's no cause. It's causeless, like we say ahoituki bhakti. So we don't know the cause. It's ahetu. Hetu means cause, or ahoituki. There's no cause. Then Krishna thinks, well, what did I do? Then he really becomes so much surrendered, so much submissive, and he experiences the whole taste of that rasa of submission. And Dainya is one of the sanchari bhavas of humility before Radharani. What is in her mind? What is in her heart? I am mystified. I'm overwhelmed. How is she? Why is she sulking? Why is she showing this mood of contrary behavior, not wanting to look at me? You might tell jokes and make faces, and she just ignores me. What is she up to? What is she thinking? Is she upset about something last week, and she's upset again about that time I stood her up and went with Chandravali? So Krishna becomes totally absorbed in Radharani. And then finally, when Radharani releases this man, which is very difficult, it's like very difficult to solve a problem you don't know the cause of. If you have a problem, but you don't know the cause, it's very difficult to solve it. Like you may have a disease, and people say, I don't know how to solve this, this disease. I don't know the cause. I don't know what it is. So Krishna doesn't know what it's causeless. So then the end is so much relishable, and finally Radharani again meets with Krishna and abandons her man and becomes favorable and loving and agreeable again to Krishna, and becomes very happy. So Chandravali she plays a very important part. In truth, Chandravali and all the other gopis that are blooming with erotic ecstasy, they're simply expansions of Radharani to increase and nourish the rasas of love between Radha and Krishna. Because we read in Ujjala Nilamani and other places that the Ashtasakis, Radharani, she is a Nayaka, and there's eight kinds of Nayaka bhav expressions. There's the Kalahantarita, then Kila Kinchit, then Vasajika, and then Avisar, and there are different stages of love, different stages of affection and intensities of love towards the beloved. And Radharani has all of those moods. There's eight different moods or bhavas or sentiments of love that a heroine or a nayaka may display or exhibit towards her beloved hero, nayak, Radha towards Krishna, or the Ashtasakis towards Krishna. So Radharani has all of them, but then she expands each one of those eight bhavas into her eight sakis. And then she also expands into the other sakis, the same bhavas. So they are all really just expansions of her, Kaya Vyuha. So it's explained, Krishna's Kaviraj explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, all these sakis are required for Radha and Krishna to actually experience the greatest happiness in her loving pastimes. So this is a little bit about relationships, and to highlight the importance of this book, Stavavali as a book of poems, but especially Brajavilas Stava, which is so important for us to know something about each of these characters and know their greatness and how they're all, because when you read Govinda Lilamrita or you read about Krishna's pastimes, then Kundalata will enter there and Mukara will enter there and Dhanishta will enter those pastimes. And the Astasakis and Chandravali, you'll see names of Padma and Shaivya and Mukara and Nanda and Kirtida and Kundalata and Jatila and Abhimanyu. So if it's just a name, and we should know something more about their character and their qualities and their contribution. So this book, and then the explanations and tikkas of this book, Brajavilastava, and books like Radhakrishna Ganadesha Deepika, they help give further depth to our understanding of these individuals, their personality, their mentality, their appearance, what do they look like, and there's certain adjectives that are used to describe, like, for example, Radharani's sister-in-law, the sister of Abhimanyu, daughter of Jatila, her name is Kutila. She's, the adjective that describes her is suspicious. She's very suspicious. So when Radharani in Magmas, this is described in the Chamatkara Chandrika by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna disguising himself as Abhimanyu. The story starts off that Radharani is taking a Mangala Snan in the Punya Mas of Magh. It's very auspicious to take a bath in the month of Magh in Ganga or Jamuna or some sacred river before sunrise. So all the Sakis are holding hands and running down the footpaths to Keshigat, because in Puranas, besides Vishramgat, which is even more purifying, but the gopis don't go to Mathura. So the second most purifying place to take snan in terms of Punya Sukriti based on Puranas is called Keshigat. So the story begins by saying that Radharani is getting up early in the morning and very enthusiastic to get dressed and put her gumption in her shoulder bag and run down the footpath, and all the Sakis were singing songs and running down in the middle before sunrise all the way to Keshigat in Vrindavan to take bath in Magmas. And she's living in a joint family in the house with her sister-in-law Kutila, and she's saying, This is January, 15th of January, 20th of January, the sun doesn't even rise until 7:30. It's totally pitch black and dark out. And at 5:30, Radharani is gleefully and happily running out into the darkness to take a freezing, ice-cold bath in the Yamuna. And she has a tender body of a queen's daughter, of a princess. Even a cold wind blows on her face and she feels disturbed. She's so delicate and fragile. But then now she's running out. So when she observed this, then Kutila, she became suspicious. Suspicious means doubtful about the person's movements or conduct. So now she wanted to follow her suspicion and see if she could draw a conclusion as to what's the facts. So being very suspicious and very much like a detective, and she automatically assumes that something is wrong here. No young girl at 14 years old is going to run out in the middle of the night, in the middle of the winter, to jump in the ice-cold Yamuna. Unless there's only two reasons why someone would do this. There's only two reasons why a young 14-year-old girl would jump out of bed and immediately get dressed and run out of the house in the middle of the night to take a bath in the ice-cold Yamuna on January 20th. One reason is, she's crazy. The second reason is, she's in love, which means crazy in love. So either way, it's crazy. So she assumed the latter, not the former, that she was crazy in love. So then, to follow her suspicion, she waited till sunrise, because otherwise the chokidars might beat her if she arrived in Nandagram in the dark. They might think she was a daco or dacoit. So the Kundalata waited till sunrise, and then she went to Nandagram because she had a hunch, she had an idea. Radharani's going to take an auspicious bath. I wonder if Krishna is also, by chance, quote-unquote, going to take an auspicious bath. Of course, we know, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that Radharani was certainly taking an auspicious... She was taking a very auspicious bath, and Krishna was also taking a very auspicious bath. Because when Krishna would meet Radharani in the kunjas at Keshigat, then Krishna would bathe in the Radharasuda Nidhi. He would take a bath, a very auspicious bath, in the Radharasuda Nidhi Snan. And Radharani would take a bath in the Shamras. So it was very auspicious to bathe in Shamras, Radhakrishna Yuga Milan, in the kunjas of Keshigat. But that's from that understanding is beyond Kutila's reach of knowledge or viewpoint. So she went to Nandagaon. Oh, Janani! Oh, Ma! Ma Yashoda! Nandalal kaha? Where's Nandalal? Is he sleeping? He usually sleeping at this time. No. Nandalal, every year he goes, he takes a Mangala Snan. And the Punya Mas of Magh, he goes every year to the most auspicious bathing place in the whole Yamuna, passing through this Braj Mandal. The most auspicious place here in our Vrindavan is Akeshigat, according to Bhaguri Rishi. Bhaguri Rishi and Sandilya Muni, they told Nanda Baba, this is the most auspicious place, Keshigat. One bath in Keshigat is, you get as much punya as 100,000 Ashwamedha Yajnas, or something like this. Fantastic. So then, he's gone there. Acha. That's all I need to know. Thank you very much. Dandavats, Mother Yashoda. Then, lickety split, super fast, Kundalata ran all the way to Keshigat. And then you can read the rest of the story in this Chamatkara Chandrika. Krishna, it's called Krishna Abhimanyu Vesh Milan. Krishna Abhimanyu Vesh Milan. Meeting Radharani in the dress of Abhimanyu. This is the very, very beginning, few seconds of that divine leela. So in this way, the mandris have their different sevas, and these qualities we should know about each one of these sakis, and then we can recognize them more. We can see them more and appreciate them more when we read about the pastimes and Bhavana Sara Sangraha, Krishnaika Komudi, and Krishna Bhavanamrita and Govinda Leelamrita. They won't be just names. It's, oh yeah, Kundalata is her. She's the wife of Subhadra, and Subhadra's, they have a son named so-and-so, and he's a coward friend of Krishna. And knowing all these members and how they fit together, and it becomes much richer experience, much deeper absorption, and much you appreciate more, and you become... Gradually, your mind and heart and senses and memory start to fully identify with Krishna and all of his associates in the land of Vrindavan. It's not just Vrindavan, but there's Nandagram with its specialities and special Leela Stalis and special members in the divine drama of love of Krishna. Then there's Barsana with its special qualities and divine Leela Stalis and members, personalities that live there that nourish and expand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna Yuga. And then there's Yavatgram, then there's Kokilavan, and then there's Unchagaon and Vrindavan. All these Leela Stalis, they become our dreams, our memories, our life. So this is so necessary. So now we start a new topic. It's sometimes in asked because someone following Rag Marg, following the Braja Gopis, doing bhajan in the mood of the Gopis, and someone might say, well, how are you're supposed to serve Krishna? You're always talking about serving the Gopis and serving Radharani. So this topic is, how do the Manjaris serve Krishna? it's locked. I know it's a lock. See, it's there in the kitchen. It's there in the kitchen, the thermos and the glass. So this is the question. The topic is here. How do the Manjaris, is it open?
Yeah.
How do the Manjaris serve Krishna by serving Radharani? Because we are accustomed to drawing our line of service to Krishna, Krishna consciousness. So the Manjaris basically, they serve Krishna by serving Radharani alone and Radha and Krishna together. In this song by Narottam Das Thakur, he says, Radha Krishna Pranamor Jugala Kishore. So here he's just put here. Yeah, thank you. That's good. Radha Krishna Pranamor Jugala Kishore. He's saying that this is the line of thought and the line of meditation service for the Manjari is Radha Krishna Pranamor. They are my pran, they are my very life. Radha and Krishna together, not just Krishna alone, or not just Radharani alone. Radha Krishna, Pranamor. And Yugala Kishore, and my service is to Yugala Kishore. Yugala means two. Kishore means youthful. They're just Kishore, Kishori. We say Kishore, Kishori, Kijai. So that means they're teenagers, teenage boy and teenage girl. Very playful and young and sportive. So he gives that idea. So our line is Radha's Seva. It's often you hear this term, Radha Dasyam. So this is the exclusive Seva. Radha Dasyam means the exclusive Seva of Radharani's lotus feet. But the exclusive Seva Radharani and plus Yugal Seva, which means serving Radha and Krishna together. This is the meaning of Radha Dasyam. Generally, people consider themselves to think of Krishna Das, because that's the basic identity that Krishnadas Kaviraj explains of the jiva. The jivera surpaya krishnera nitya das. So every jiva, directly or indirectly, knowingly or knowingly, is serving Krishna's energy, serving Krishna, his external energy or internal energy. But that jivera surupaya krishna, it's the nature of this tatastha shakti, is he's a serving particle. But when one awakens desire and becomes attracted and interested to serve Krishna in a particular way, then his Krishna das, his idea of serving Krishna, may evolve to serving Krishna's devotees and serving Krishna's guru and serving Krishna's holy dham and serving Radharani or serving the other members of the Vrindavan, Nitya Vrindavan. So the Manjaris, the reason that they don't feel themselves actually so qualified, and in the circle that they live in, the Manjaris live among the Astasakis and they live with Radharani intimately. So when they look around and see the quality of servitors, it's like Brahma. In the Bhagavatam, when Brahma went to Dwarka, maybe this is chapter 90 or so, 10th canto. It's in Nectar Devotion also. Brahma went to Dwarka, and he wanted to discuss something about this universe that he's managing with Krishna. He's a Chatur Mukh Brahma. He has four heads. So he went there, and then the gate, he passed through different gates because the doormen recognized him. Then he got to an inner gate of Dwarka, and there was one gatekeeper there. His name is Daruka. Daruka drives chariot of Krishna, and sometimes he watches the door. So then Brahma said, "Tell Krishna I'm here." He said, "All right, I'll tell Krishna you're here. I want to meet him." So then Daruka went to meet Krishna. He was inside the palace. He said, "Brahma has come here to meet you." Then Krishna said, "Which Brahma? which Brahma? Kon Brahma? Kon Brahma? Which Brahma is it that's come to meet me?" So Daruka went back and he said, "And tell him to wait anyway, I'm busy." So then Daruka went back and he met Brahma and he said, "Brahma, Krishnaji, Dwarkadish, he wants to know, which Brahma are you anyway? And Brahma was thinking, which Brahma am I? I am capital T-H-E, the Brahma. You see, look, Dhruka, look, see this? I'm the one with the four heads, Chaturmukh Brahma. There's no other Brahma in this universe. I am the Brahma. What is the problem? What is Prabhu doing? Why is he asking such a question? Which Brahma? I'm serving him as the overall in charge of this universe, and the master, you know, supercharger, whatever, supervisor of the whole thing. And anyway, so then Dhruva says, anyway, just relax, sit down for a moment, because he's a little busy right now. So Brahma sat down. And meanwhile, by Krishna just thought, let all the other Brahmas and all the Brahmandas, all the other Brahmas and thousands of Brahmandas, let them all come here to this assembly hall right now. So they did. And by Krishna's mystic power, Yoga Maya, then that assembly hall became so huge to accommodate thousands and thousands of Brahmas. Some Brahmas had 8 heads and 16 heads and 32 heads and 64 heads and 1,000 heads and 1 lakh of heads and 10 lakh of heads. I mean, they were really had a lot of heads. They were ahead of the game. So then Krishna said, Dhruka, bring Brahma. So Brahma came there and he opened the door. So much effulgence. He was totally stunned and mystified, amazed. What is this? He looked around and all of these thousands of Brahmas with thousands of unlimited heads, they were all paying obeisances at the same time, and all their crowns, their mukuts and crowns, were touching the lotus feet of Dwarkadish Krishna in submission and humility. And when Brahma, he was aghast, he was stupefied and dumbfounded. He looked around and said, "Wah, Shabash." He said, "Shabash, Shabash, what is this? And then he thought to himself, who am I? I'm like a fly. I am just like a mucky among thousands of hatis. I'm like a mucky among hati. I'm like a fly among elephants." He felt so insignificant. A fly, how big is a fly? How big is an elephant? A hati, a mucky. A mucky is a fly. Mucky and hati. He thought, I'm so insignificant. I'm like nothing. I'm like a piece of dirt compared to all these other Brahmas. They're so vast, so powerful, so big. They must have such big universes. Well, I was so stupid to have such pride. So the Mandris, they feel like so small when they look at the other Sakis and how they serve Krishna. They don't feel they have any qualifications. So it's similar. The Mandris think they have very little. The Mandris think they have very little. You can come here. There's lots of room, I guess. You can sit anywhere up here and there. Here there's all kinds of space right here. Either out. Pass me. Tulsi ke pass. Veta. Either. You can sit here. Radhe Radhe. Jai Shri Radhe. Yeah, there's a lot of room here. We're just leaving a small space for this camera, but you can sit here and tell CK Vaz. Prabhuji, either out. Either. Samne, ekdam samne, either. Abhi. Radhi, Radhi. So we're discussing this particular topic. How is it that the Mandris, because everyone's angle of vision is serving Krishna. So how do the Mandris serve Krishna by serving Radharani? This is the topic. So the Mandris, first of all, why do they do that? Why are they not so much serving directly Krishna? What is their thinking? What is their mentality? What is their feeling? The Mandris are thinking and feeling, because our actions are reflections of our thinking and feeling. Thinking, feeling, and actions. So how do they see the world? Well, they feel themselves very insignificant compared to the Ashtasakis, What to speak of Radharani? She's the emporium of unlimited seva for the pleasure of Krishna. The mantris think they have very little desire to serve Krishna, and they have very little ability or knowledge of arts or talents with which they can please Krishna. So they feel, oh, what can I do? I'm just a little mantri, what can I do? Vishakha is such a great singer, and Lalita is such a great dancer, and Radharani is expert in all the 64 arts. The 64 arts actually emanate from Radharani. She's the very origin of those arts. And anyone who has any ability, any sakis or displaying any of these kalas, are simply an amsha of Radharani's kala. Radharani is Kalavati Radha. She is an unlimited ocean of arts. So now they feel like this. So the mantris firmly believe, and they're convinced that Radhika and Radhika alone is the best servant of Krishna, who can and does please Krishna the utmost. Consequently, how do the mantris serve Krishna? How do they please Krishna? They serve Krishna and please Krishna by serving Radharani. So because their outlook is like this, and they understand clearly who is the best servants and the most pleasing sakis amongst their own clan or group, they always remain absorbed in helping and serving Radha, because they understand that Radhika is the epitome of the highest loving affection. Radharani is the very zenith or epitome of the highest loving affection for Krishna. Madanaikya Mahabhav. So we think about ourselves approaching Krishna as we progress from the beginning of Vaidhi Sadhana and on to Raghunuga Sadhana, and we draw a line. Generally, in the beginning, we draw our line. We draw our line of seva, because we're talking about the mantris' line of seva, their mood and line of seva. We draw our line of seva to Krishna. Krishna connection, as it's told. And we think and we feel and we act, and feeling ourselves to be Krishna Das or Krishna Dasi. And our goal is Krishna consciousness. But as we advance, then we realize increasingly, and our realization increases, then we want to draw our service line, our line of service, we want to draw it not to the lotus feet of Radharani and to please Radharani. Because in the beginning, everyone says, oh, this is Krishna consciousness. I want to please Krishna. Of course, we always want to please Krishna. And we always want to be conscious of Krishna. But there's a slight tweak. There's a slight adjustment when one awakens his rag in the mode of a gopi of Vrindavan and following the line of the Rupanuga line, Rupanuga Dara. He wants to follow Rupa Manjari and Rati Manjari. So then his line of seva, Krishna is the ultimate recipient. All sevas ultimately end at the lotus feet of Krishna. All Radharani's sevas end at the lotus feet of Krishna. Prabhupada used to say that if we see a flower, we're walking in the park and we see some beautiful rose, or here we find some kadamba or some flower, and we think, oh, let me pick this flower. So Srila Prabhupada, no, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, he said, oh, we'll get that flower, and then we'll take that flower and we'll put this flower in the hand of Radharani. We'll offer it to Radharani. Radharani, please, I picked this flower. Please, you offer this flower to your Krishna. The Prabhupada says, you offer this flower to your Krishna. So all service ultimately ends there. But as one has higher realizations and wants to follow Braj Bhajan and the mood of the gopis, then his line of service will go this way. He'll start to think, as he advances, his line of service will go to Radharani, and he'll start to think of himself as Radharani's maidservant, as her dasi, as her palyadasi, as her kinkari. And then, so then there's a, from Krishna dasya, we begin with Krishna dasya, we refine our conception, and our attachment, we cultivate our attachment, a rag, and we refine our conception from Krishna Dasyam becomes refined to Radha Dasyam. And by living a life of Radha Dasyam and pleasing Radha and Krishna, we can please Krishna the most. And then there's examples given of that, how We don't. It's not even. We don't have to worry secondarily. Automatically, Krishna is pleased by serving Radharani. We don't have to worry. Oh, I'm not paying that much attention to Krishna, or I'm not directly thinking of Krishna. I'm more thinking of Radharani, which means them together. Radha Krishna Pranamora Yugala Kishore. Our pran, our very life is Radha and Krishna, but our save is Yugala Kishore, serving Radharani to bring her to Krishna, bring Krishna to Radharani. So this from Krishna Dasya, we find our service conception to Radha Dasya, and then we hanker to become an eternal loving servant of the sweet lotus feet of Srimati Radharani and her beloved Prananath Shyamasundara. We can speak a few more minutes. There's a few more pages of notes I want to share, but it's time for the Chaitanya Charitamrita class, 1 hour each. So the Manjaris, they direct their devotion and seva to Radharani. Because, as I mentioned earlier, they feel, oh, we don't have so many desires to serve Krishna. Certainly we have desires to serve Krishna. And we don't have so many talents or abilities, but certainly they do. And so many abilities they have. Even they gain their abilities from the Sakis and Manjaris. Even Radharani sometimes teaches the Manjaris how to sing a song or a bhajan. What to speak of, we heard the Vishakas teaching them how to sing also. So they are quite talented, but that is their humble mood, that they don't feel that way. But when they compare themselves to Radharani, the Acharyas say that Radharani is an ocean of desires. She's an ocean of desires. She has unlimited desires to please and satisfy Krishna. And she has all the unlimited abilities and talents to do that. And that's why she's Radhika. She's the greatest worshipper and servant of the Lord. So the Manjaris, they realize that by serving and pleasing Radharani, they can please Krishna more than by directly surrendering to Him and serving Him. Radha's seva automatically pleases and conquers Krishna. So we discuss that tomorrow. There's so many examples in Ujjwala Nilamani and other places how our acharyas show how the Manjaris become so much that the Manjaris win the attention of Krishna without even serving Him directly, because they're so intimate and so confidential and trusted by Radharani. Most everyone's trying to get Krishna's attention by serving Krishna and surrendering to Krishna. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji malnavaskaru malmai vaishasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. Everyone's trying to become dear to Krishna. Priyajana, become Krishna's dear one. Get his glance, get his affection, get his recognition by surrendering to Him, offering obeisances, worshipping Him, thinking of Him. But the Manjaris are always thinking of Radha, Gopi Bhav, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto, and they want to become dear to Priyaji Radha. They want to become Priya Kinkaris, Priya Kinkaris of Radha. So they're always thinking of Radharani and serving Radharani. So now Krishna, they attract Krishna's attention. Whereas someone who is aspiring to please Krishna and serve Krishna, he's trying to attract Krishna's attention and get His mercy and blessings. And the servants of Radharani, they are attracting Krishna's attention, and Krishna wants to get their mercy and get their assistance in different pastimes. He goes to the Manjaris, which we'll hear from Ujjwala Nilamani and Rupa Goswami. Krishna is forced to serve the Manjaris and surrender the Manjaris and think of the Manjaris and worship the Manjaris to get their mercy and help so that he can again meet with Radharani. This is extraordinary. This is on the topmost level of the eternal pastimes of the Lord. So as sadhakas, we worship Yugala Kishore, Radha and Krishna together, but our line of seva is specifically, that's why the term is called Radha Dasyam. And we'll discuss more on this point tomorrow. This is the topic of this course. It's called The Glorious Seva of Radharani. And now we have Chaitanya Charitamrita.